The Spotlight. It's a radio show where volunteers share stories of inspiration, share their journey, express their feelings, and tell us all about those who have touched their lives. And we play their favorite music. It is The Spotlight, Fridays 2 to 3 p.m. on Radio Mariah.
Hello and welcome to The Spotlight. The Spotlight is the show where we host UN volunteers in South Sudan. And today our guest on The Spotlight is Karima Ahmadi, and she is an Afghan national who is working with us in South Sudan, and she is a UNV support officer. Well, she attained a bachelor's in civil engineering and has a 10-year work experience in management in various national and international organizations. Karima, thank you so much for making out time to speak to us today.
Thank you so much for having me today.
Right. Just before we continue, what did you have for breakfast, if you don't mind?
To be honest, nothing.
Why? Are you intermittently fasting?
I try to do so, but like, I usually have heavy dinner, so yeah.
Okay. Well, personally, when I do have heavy dinner, I wake up very hungry. So I am surprised that we are different. All right. So you came to South Sudan. I mean, what was the feeling on the first day you arrived?
Well, the first day that I arrived, since this is not my first time coming to Africa, I did my international baccalaureate diploma in Swaziland, which is now Eswatini, for 2 years. So I was exposed to Africa before. I have visited it, some countries in the southern Africa before. Mm. And then while coming here, because I was working with UNICEF, so I had some colleagues who were working before in UNMISS, and they did guided me that how it would be and what you could have expect mm-hmm. of this environment and mm-hmm. what you have to be, you know, take with yourself, right. How you should be prepared and everything. Obviously, they kind of scared me at the beginning because they said they had like lots of mosquitoes and insects and everything. Mm-hmm. But anyhow, but while I came, a country, I did my research before coming here, and then I thought it would be much worse than what I expected, but when I came it was not that bad, and it's bearable. Yes, in bearable. Not the hot weather though when it comes in November and December, but like
it's really hot. Yeah,
the people are nice, the environment is nice, the UN compound is nice,
right.
So everything, I think the mission as it whole is a nice place to be.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm like, I have no complaints and I like being here.
All right. So where did you come from to come and join us in South Sudan?
Previously, I was living in Afghanistan, uh-huh. working with UNICEF in Afghanistan. Uh-huh. This is like my third mission in UN, and it's nice.
Right. So this is your third mission. So it was like Afghanistan, South Sudan, and then where else?
It was like even Afghanistan before. Like I did my previous mission, two mission in Afghanistan.
Uh-huh. So yes. You've always been home.
Yes.
Okay. So the experience must be different that you have left your probably parents, your siblings, or if you're married, you've left your husband. I mean, that emptiness.
Yeah.
I can't just imagine staying away for long from my family personally. So how does that emptiness actually re-energize you to push up with your work?
Well, I have two kids. And then my son is 3 years old. My daughter is 1 year old. When I came here, my daughter was only 6 months old. Sorry. And then she was a tiny baby when I came here. And the only thing that actually motivated me to work here is for them, because I am like here to provide for them.
Right.
And then after the situation, the Taliban attack happened and everything. And then there's no job right now for so many people. And I'm glad that I at least have some financial support that I could give to my family right now. So it is like, for me, this was a privilege that I got to be here and to have a job, to be able to provide to my family. And this was the only thing that actually kept me going, you know, because like I couldn't go home for like almost 6 months because of the situation. And then I was stuck here. But it was, you know, the only thing that actually helped me in a person to have the strength, you know, to have the courage, to be strong enough to work, you know, and to be able to control my mindset, because you cannot control mentally. You have to be prepared for everything.
Yes, you have.
It was like at least I thank internet for that, yeah. because I was able to see them every day, mm-hmm. you know, to see their faces, video chat.
Right.
And then when I saw them, you know, that they're healthy and I've been here able to provide for them, and their safety is important and yeah. their health is important. Mm. And so I thank God for that,
yeah.
you know, and that actually kept me going, and I'm still like, you know, being strong
right.
for them.
Right. I mean, yes. you're saying all these things and I'm still wrapping my head around you leaving your child at 6 months.
Yes.
How hard is that?
My God, I cried almost every night.
Oh my goodness.
I know.
And them being able to just see you through the internet and things like that, I'm sure they're happy every time they see you.
Yes. Well, my daughter doesn't recognize me that much, obviously, because she was tiny.
Yeah.
And then I left her for like almost 6 months.
Right.
When I went home, she was 1 year old already. And she,
yeah,
didn't
she was
just
wondering who
yeah,
is
she
this?
Was wondering who
oh,
that
dear.
But it's like there's that motherhood feeling
it
that
has
she
to
can
be
get
there.
Through
there's,
me.
There must be a bond.
Yeah, there's
right.
a bond.
So you leave them with your mom or your husband?
Yeah. Since in Afghanistan, after marriage, we live with our in-laws.
Oh.
So they are with my mother-in-law, father-in-law, and my husband.
Oh, okay. They're in safe hands anyway.
Yes.
So I want to ask you if it has been easy, but obviously it hasn't been easy.
No.
I mean, you're here because your family needs to be provided for.
Yes.
And if you had a choice, you would be in Afghanistan right
obviously,
now.
Obviously, for sure.
So what survival skills have you acquired that you think could be valuable to anyone aspiring to become a volunteer?
Well, I think for me, what I think from my personal view is to become a volunteer, you really need to be strong, you know, physically and mentally strong, obviously, because you never know which situation you're gonna get into. I mean, like, we have volunteers all over the world, and then not every country is like a good country. You do not get expected, because we do have some, you know, issues like in here, you know, like there could be like now few past days, mm-hmm. and you know, as we have protesters and everything,
yeah.
and then but like you can expect that. You only thing that a volunteer should be thinking is like to have the courage, to have the motivate. You know, you are here to have this platform. This platform has been given to you to, you know, boost yourself, to just, you know, increase your knowledge, increase your learning, discover more ways about knowing yourself. Mm. And the only way is to be, not I'm saying not volunteer, but like as in work opportunities that can be given to you by working as a volunteer is nice. So that's what I think a volunteer should be prepared for, all like physical, mental mm-hmm. ways mm-hmm. to be motivated, to be encouraged, to work. And then, you know, I know all the mission is different, but like you can expect the better, you can expect the worse. But my dear, if you're here, just, you know, be yourself, enjoy every moment that you get, and then work towards a better future.
Right, Karima, thank you so much for letting us into your story.
Thank you.
So what would your favorite, I mean, we give you a chance to share with us your 5 favorite songs, and we'll begin with the least favorite.
Mm-hmm.
So what would your 5th song be?
Well, that would be like, you know, if we have a UN mission, we have our actual songs that like they play all the time, which is like Jerusalem.
Okay.
And we know all those tapes.
Okay, so which song is that?
The Jerusalem
song. Jerusalem by yeah. whom?
You know, they play like, I don't know the name, but
Jerusalem. Is it a reggae?
Yeah.
Is it in a reggae vibe?
Yeah.
Oh,
you
know, okay.
It's a nice song that they just like, they played every Friday night. We have a DJ every Friday night. They played, and believe me, all UN staff, they come together to dance for it. So
okay.
This is like this. That's why we call the UN song, because when you play it, everybody doesn't matter the
it's like
which
a signature
country.
Song.
Yes, like. But it's nice to see that, you know, because like nobody, which country, like everybody from all over the world mm-hmm. knows the steps. And then you all see like when they play, it's like, oh,
you're speaking about this African song. Jerusalem.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
My mind was going somewhere else. All right. Thank you so much. It's a Jerusalem song. It is for you. Let's go for a short break.
Okay.
Jerusalem, ikayalami, ilondoloze, Shilana, Jerusalem, Ikayalami, Kilo no lo sé, Uhambenami, Sumangi Shilana, Daoyami, Aikolana, Busoami, Aukolana.
Welcome back. This is a spotlight here on Radio Miraya. I said my name is Irene Lasu, and today my spotlighter is Karima. And Karima is an Afghan national who is working currently in the UN mission in South Sudan as a UN visa support officer. Mm-hmm. Now, Karima, what is it that attracted you to become a UN volunteer?
Well, I was a volunteer before coming here. I was a national volunteer in Afghanistan. And then what attracted me more is like the opportunity that has given to us as a volunteer that we could explore the world. We can explore to see what's happening actually in the world. Mm-hmm. As a volunteer, we have been provided that platform. And like, obviously, when you get a like fixed-term job, you're just stuck there. But like for volunteers, we get to see more of the each side of the world, you know, each side of the story, because we are like exposed to that. And then right now we have in South Sudan, we have almost 397 UNVs, like international UNVs that right. work in South Sudan. Mm. And each one of them work in different fields. And then when we talk, when we see each other as a support officer, obviously I'm in talk with them. And then when they explain their experience, that what they see, you know, it's really thing is really like what they say, like joyful or, you know, like surprising. Because like you as me, obviously I'm most of the time in the office, but like what I see towards their eye, towards the experience is really nice. Right. You know, it's like really knowledgeable that this is how it's happening and what they are doing towards what, like towards helping others,
right.
which is a really nice thing, you know, because like we have so many volunteers, especially in South Sudan. We have like cross, you know, other NGOs that have like thousands of volunteers, and they are all working towards a better future for the civilians of South Sudan, and then for the civilians of other countries as well.
Right.
So what actually motivated me to be as a volunteer is to be able to help in any way that we can towards the people that actually needs help. And this UNV like a volunteer is a platform that you can actually see in your eyes those difficulties, you know, that people actually faces, the hardship that people has, and then in any way towards your knowledge, towards actually being there yourself, you can actually help someone.
That's right.
So this is like what I like it. Yeah.
Okay, all right. So I mean, this is the first time that you're working as a volunteer. What is your memorable moment as a volunteer? I mean, it can be an experience from Afghanistan, mm-hmm. it can be like an experience here. So what is your most memorable experience as a UNV?
Well, in Afghanistan, I was doing a project for educations in athletes, because like Afghanistan, they don't have women, especially obviously with Taliban now, that's gone. Mm. But previously, even with the government we had, we didn't have a female athletes. And then my job was to provide that platform for the woman, female, actually, to be an athlete. Mm. And then the most memorable was to visit the schools, you know, of females.
Yeah.
And then we explained them, we providing them the equipments to play, you know, all sorts of sports.
Right.
It was so nice because they say like, you know, that family doesn't allow them, you
yeah.
know, the environment, the society doesn't allow them to play,
right.
you know, to mm-hmm. play sports. So while we provide, UN provide those, you know, the equipments, it was such a nice feeling to see their happy faces, that they get so happy while we give these equipments. And they were like trying to figure out which sports they want to play, mm-hmm. how they want to play.
Right,
so that's
right,
like
right,
the most
right.
memorable. Yeah.
So what exactly did you like from that? I know you have tried to explain it, but to you personally as an individual,
yeah.
what did you like exactly in that experience?
Well, I like that I am like, okay, not obviously in a financially, but like in spiritual way, I was there, you know, I supported them, mm-hmm. and I gave them like a little bit of moment, happy moment that they deserve. And to see their joyful faces was like the most happy thing that ever could happen to anybody, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's like
mm-hmm.
you being able to provide happiness to others is like something that like a rare occasion, you
right,
know,
right,
nowadays especially.
Mm-hmm.
But I was given that platform and I was so happy that I could able to provide them some inspiration, because they were like looking at me that I'm working mm-hmm. as a working woman, working mother. And then they were so happy to see me. And then they all was like, okay, I really want to be you. You know, I really want to be help. Like, I really want to help others in future, just like you did. So it was really nice seeing
wow.
that.
Very
and it
touching.
Was like, yeah, I know.
I feel
it was
touched
so
right now.
Inspirational. Yes, my dear.
Okay. So, was there anybody else in your circle who had ever done anything like that?
Well, yes. I mean, everybody, especially in UNICEF, obviously it's the education, child support. So everybody was like, has done that.
Mm.
So they were like, saying, you know, the only way that kept us going is like to see the happy faces of the child, you know, that we can provide like all these small moments, you know, because we actually, we provide tournaments, you know, within themselves, and then they play and they win and they're so happy, joyful and cheerful. And then they see, like, when we see that, we actually forget our own pain, our own struggle. But, like, you know, because you do have to struggle to provide that platform for them, actually.
Yeah.
It's not easy.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, when we see that they're so happy at the end, we say it's worth it.
Hmm.
So that's what they have kept them going. And that's how it will be, you know, for me, that would be a thing to do, you know, keep going as myself, for everybody, I think, for myself.
After all, it's the small things that matter in
life. Yes.
All right. So it's time for us to hear or listen in to your fourth next best song. Which song is that?
I think that would be like, everybody knows the Titanic song. Oh, Celine Dion, oh, My Heart Will Go On. You know, that's like forever green song.
My Heart Will Go On, it is. We'll be right back.
Once more.
All right, welcome back. You're listening to the Spotlight program, and in the Spotlight program, we get to shine a light on volunteers who leave the comfort of their countries to come to South Sudan and serve the people here. At the Spotlight, we give a spotlight, or we put our guests on a spotlight to hear from them. I mean, it's inspiring stories, and you never know, you who is listening in out there, you can go away with a word or two that could change your mind. And today, our spotlighter on the Spotlight program is Karima, and Karima is telling us more about how her work has impacted some people around her, the satisfaction that she has gotten from also impacting others. Now, Karima, how does the prospect of being a volunteer in often hard conditions suit you?
Well, I think, like, you can come through because, like, we are coming from the war zone country, and then we have seen things. I mean, we have, like, myself, Afghanistan is like almost 50 decades of war.
Mm.
And then, like, when I came here, I knew that what I'm like getting into myself, because, like, we have had civil war, and this is like actually had a civil war. And then, so the experience that I had before, even for my personal and professional, actually kind of motivated me to be here as a UN volunteer to serve and to actually, you know, kind of provide something to this environment that I actually needed. But let's see.
Okay. So this is a tricky yet an interesting question. If you were stranded on a desert island, what luxury would you take with?
Well, if I'm struck there, I think the only...
And remember, there's no internet there, so your phone won't work.
Well, the luxury is, first of all, I'm a believer, and I believe in God. So that the only thing I think is like to have a belief. And then to overcome any hard situation is to actually believe that God is always there with you. And then... what else is more luxurious than to have a blessing of the gods?
Right, right.
Yes.
Okay.
And secondly, obviously, water.
Oh, yes, desert island.
Yes.
So that means there's no water.
Yes.
You are right. Okay. So who are the people that have been so influential in your life?
That would be my father. You know, they didn't have the platform of being educated, but yet he did a homeschool for himself. You know, from then there he taught himself, and then that's how he motivated us to just go in school and learn and do. Even when I was doing my university, because like we had to do during the night time, and then at 8 p.m. I had to go back home. You know, the hard situation was that because the Afghanistan was not safe, you know, everything could have happened. So my father, even during the winter night, he used to stay at 8 p.m. in the road to pick me up from the shuttle.
Oh, dear.
So he's like, I see how much he cared for us, for my safety. And then he always wanted us, I'm here to give you safety. All I want is you to make something out of yourself, you know, study. Because I couldn't, and I want you to study. So this is like, this is what actually inspired me to actually do more than what I'm like supposed to, you know, as a, you know, the society that has been given to us, that women are not allowed to do so many things.
Yeah.
Women are not allowed to travel outside. You know,
without her husband.
Yes.
Right.
Women are not allowed to, you know, continue their education. You know, so this, like, this has thing, yeah, that's like, these barriers were actually cut off by my father when we were, like, you know, he actually taught us that when you want to do something, there are no barriers. Only you can stop yourself. So I don't want you to stop yourself. Just grow and growth. That's how what you should think of.
Right. Wow. Your father needs an upload. Okay. So what would you have been if you didn't turn out the way you did? I mean, you were a civil engineer. So if you weren't a civil engineer, if life threw a second chance at you, would you still be a civil engineer, or this, or you had other dreams?
Well, I had my dreams.
Okay,
I really,
so what would you have been?
I wanted to be an interior designer.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And the only way that actually, you know, caught me, like, nearer, because in Afghanistan, we don't have that platform. you know, we don't have interior designer courses, you know, in university, we don't get that. So I was like, okay, I have to study engineering, so become an architect, and through architect I came back.
Which is closer.
Yeah.
But I like you. You have solutions to every,
yes,
every
but
problem.
But yet, the situation was not that good. I did my civil engineering, and then after that, when I was looking for engineering jobs, I wasn't able to do so because, like, all the construction companies had, you know, the men.
They don't employ women.
Yeah. They don't employ women. And if you are employed, you had to go to the sites, you know, which were not safe. And then, obviously, you really have to think, as a woman, you really have to think about your safety first,
right,
you know?
Yeah.
I think everybody should think about
their safety first.
And then, when I consulted my father, my brother, and my family, they say, like, you know, we respect that you did your civil engineering, but we also want you to be safe. And then, yet, if you want a construction job, you have to go to those sites, which is, like, not safe for this environment. Obviously, if you want to continue your civil engineering, you have to go to a foreign country and pursue that. So, for now, I think if I want to get a chance to just change something, I would be, like, I want to continue my education in somewhere in more interior design things.
Okay. I mean, you still have time.
I hope so.
All right. So, I mean, are you happy with how you spent your time?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, I'm happy. I'm like, I give most of the time, like, if when I'm here, I'm like, I do work and I give myself the time to my family. And yeah, I think I'm good to go. I'm like,
all right. So, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much would you give yourself?
Well, I think 7.
Oh, 7 is a good mark. All right. Karima, thank you so much for your time.
Yeah.
So, your second best song now.
One Love by Messi. I don't know if you can find that.
One Love by Messi. Okay, One Love by Messi it is. We'll be right back.
Your arms
Welcome back. It is the Spotlight. My name is Irene Lasson. My spotlighter today is Karima. Now, Karima, every guest on the Spotlight is given a chance to choose a book. What book would you like to read when in your time, in your own time?
Well, I'm to be honest, I'm a sci-fi kind of girl, you know.
Okay.
So I would like rather read Harry Potter, Twilight, this kind of.
I see that. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, as you head out to, of course, more activities, what luxury would you carry out to the field to make life more comfortable for you, more bearable? Or what have you carried from Afghanistan to make your life in Juba bearable?
Clothes. I love clothes.
So you've carried enough clothes.
Yes. You know, like, you really have to be prepared in our situation, like light clothes, different kind of clothes.
Mm.
But I think the only luxury that I think I carried from Afghanistan was, you know, for you really have to, what my family suggests is like, every time you go somewhere, carry enough medicine with yourself.
Mm.
You never know what kind of sickness you can get.
Right, right.
So I always carry medicine with myself, you know.
So what you do is you do your research of what diseases are prevalent in the area that you're going to,
mm-hmm.
and then carry the medicines that would suit that.
Yeah, and
situation.
Then obviously the health related medicine as well, like, you know, like paracetamol, ibuprofen,
right.
antibiotics, just to have for just security measurement.
Mm-hmm.
I think everybody should carry a little bit of medicine with themselves.
You're right.
You can never know when you're gonna get sickness. And
indeed,
the doctors are not present all the time.
You know, and the moments you in Juba where hospitals are closed and you can't have access to a medical doctor.
Yes.
Mm, it's good to stash some medicine for a rainy day. You never know when it's raining.
True.
Okay, so if you had to pick just one of the tracks that you have already chosen and given us, what would that track be?
The three songs that I chose?
Mm.
I think The Heart Will Go On.
Okay.
You know, because it's like,
yeah.
The feeling that song,
like you said, it's an evergreen song.
Yes. It's like, when you see it, you just like want to fall in love again with anybody.
No, okay, not just anybody. The heart wants what it wants. Anyway,
yes.
Thank you so much for your time. What is your last song that you would share with us?
I'll go for like Table for Two, mm-hmm. by Alok and Aero.
Okay, Table for Two.
Yes.
It is. But before we go for the song, we would like to thank you so much for making our time to come and share with us your story. Very inspiring.
Thank you
okay,
so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, my dear.
All right, we'll be right back.
To smile without a reason, I've got one where you stay. And it's always the perfect season to never stop believing. Love works in mysterious ways. It's raining in the desert, I heard it on the news. The sun won't even shine no more since I'm not there with you. I pick you up with flowers, roses, red or blue. A mattress and a table just for two. A table just for two. It's only me and you. I'll stay here forever, I promise that it's true. A table just for two. It's only me and you. I can make you breakfast and you could be my muse. Four walls
without your laughter. A book with empty chapters. A dog without a bay. And tell me, what is the meaning of life without this feeling? And the sky is gray. It's raining in the desert. I heard it on the news. The sun won't even shine no more since I'm not there with you. I pick you up with flowers, roses red or blue. A mattress and a table just for two. A table just for two. It's only me and you. I'll stay here forever, I promise that it's true. A table just for two. It's only me and you. I can make you breakfast. You could be my la 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 la.
All right, welcome back. This is the Spotlight Program, a show that highlights UN volunteers in South Sudan. And our guest today has been Karima. And Karima is an Afghan national who is working with us here in South Sudan. And she is a UN Visa Support Officer. She attained a bachelor's degree in civil engineering. And she has 10 years of experience in management in various nationals and international organization. I've been with you, Irene Lasso, and thank you so much. Catch us again for a new episode next week on Friday. Bye-bye for now.
The Spotlight. It's a radio show where volunteers share stories of inspiration, share their journey, express their feelings, and tell us all about those who have touched their lives. And we play their favorite music. It is The Spotlight, Fridays 2 to 3 p.m. on Radio Mariah.